In this world of promiscuity, I found you and you found me. It can be such a confusing thing, sorting through the yin and the yang we deal with today. Time has passed and now I find you are all alone playing games with my mind. You didn't give a damn about all I've been and who I am to you.
This is Anthony Antoine with the Adobe Music Gay Negro Ensemble. We present an in-your-face collection of performance poetry, singing, rapping, and more that is fierce, funny, confrontational, dangerous, entertaining. We often make you laugh. We can make you cry. But we are the Adobe Music Gay Negro Ensemble. It's all passionate. We're passionate about what we do.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage. Adobe Muse is made up of Anthony Antoine, Malie Williams, and Duncan Teague, and their debut CD is called Ain't Got Sense Enough to Be Shamed. The CD is a spoken word journey to the black and gay world, taking no prisoners while they travel through coming out, homophobia, sexual yearnings, AIDS, and so much more. And I guess you could call this interview a lost treasure. It's over 14 years old. I obtained the interview in late 2004 for the syndicated show Audiophile, which was part of This Way Out. I was a co-producer for that segment for about 10 years, and like in most of the interviews, we usually got way more than we needed. I recently realized that I still had the recording and decided that, yes, I'm no longer doing radio, but this is just too good to keep buried, so let's get started. Guys, please give us your names and the name of the group, and please tell us how the group first began.
Hi, this is Malik.
And this is Duncan.
And this is Anthony.
And we are the Adobe Muse, a gay Negro ensemble. Adobe Muse got started about 10 years ago as a writers collective in Atlanta. It was founded by Tony Daniels and Gerald Cooper, who came together because they wanted to make sure that the writings of black gay men, in particular black gay poets, were not going to sort of pass out of the world unrecognized and without anyone ever knowing that we had existed. And so they formed this writers collective.
I think also, this is Duncan, that when Gerald and Tony asked me to join, they stressed that they really wanted the writings of Southern black gay men to be preserved also, so that our stories from a Southern's perspective here in Atlanta wouldn't get lost.
Mm-hmm. And this, I think it was important because at that time, there was a lot of writing coming out of New York in particular from black gay men.
And the other
some
coast.
Out of the West Coast. And so there was some stuff that was being recognized, but around that time also, we were losing a lot of folks on a national level, national literary figures we were losing to HIV, AIDS. And so they came together and really thought that it was important that folks down here had a voice and that their voice was sort of recorded for history's sake.
And if you think about it, for every nationally known published black gay writer that we lost, we probably lost 100, 200 black gay men who had written privately or sort of closetedly about their work. And then when they died, we don't know what happened to that work.
And so the importance of the Writers Collective, it's still there, but it just kind of shifted over the years. Some of us became more interested in doing public readings and presenting our work, and others were more interested in just doing the writing, the work of writing. And we shifted from being the Adobe Muse, an outsiders collective was the original name of the group, to being the Adobe Muse, a gay Negro ensemble, which was more the performance poets.
And in this current version of the group, there are three members. I'm the newest member of the group, more virginal member of the group. My name is Anthony Antoine.
Sorry.
And my name is Duncan Teague. And the transition or the transformation of that initial intent of a Doty Muse from publishing and then public reading to public performance has kept up with the times, and our audiences have sort of pushed that along with Anthony Antoine, because they weren't asking for books. They were asking for CDs and DVDs. And that's how we came about with Ain't Got Sense Enough to Be Shamed, was out of responding to the request of people who had seen us perform.
What does a Doty mean?
A Doty is a Yoruba word from the ancient African kingdom of the Yoruba people. And in its original meaning, it was men who love men. And several African-American gay groups use that word, and they identify with that meaning. In modern Africa, it does not translate into the positive phrase men who love men. It's rather pejorative now.
I usually just tell people a Doty means faggot.
And that would be a polite version of what the basic translation of it is now. But, you know, we have the right to redefine the word and to make it what we need.
What are your favorite tracks?
Oh, my.
Favorite tracks.
It's hard to pick a favorite track on the CD. It's like the entire project is like a baby to us. So yeah, it's very difficult to pick a favorite track. But for me, I would have to pick It Begins, not only on the CD, but also as a piece that we perform. Originally, that started off as Malik's individual piece, a piece that Malik wrote. And we've since adopted it as a group piece, and we perform it in a way where Duncan is actually on stage and Malik and I get an opportunity to go into the audience and to actually connect with the audience. And being able to do so, it just really conveys, I mean, the piece is about someone having trouble dealing with or coming to terms with some signs that might lend to HIV, but they're not so sure. And instead of going to get tested, instead of figuring out for sure, they stay in this moment of it begins. And it's just deep. I love it. It's my favorite piece.
This is Duncan. And what I like about It Begins is that it very simply talks about a very complex emotion around HIV in our community, for those who have it and for those who fear having it, and for those who don't have it but, you know, are trying to come to terms with where are we in this epidemic.
I think another interesting part is how we unfolded it as a group piece. It lends to it being confusing sometimes, or mm-hmm. complex, and it's just what the lyrics are about as well. And so somewhere in there, you get lost in the emotion. You might hear one or two words that hit you, mm-hmm. but then it's still confusing. And then by the end, you're back to understanding exactly what this emotion is about.
Because there's just this layering of the voices and of the intensity. And even though, you know, when we're performing, it's interesting, we try not to listen to each other because we'll get thrown off. We sort of build and feed off of the energy that we're getting from, you know, the others as we're doing it.
I check in the mirror for spots, irregularities, telltale signs. I'm fatalistic that way. My friend's assurances I ignore. I imagine some alien organism inside attacking me.
I check in the mirror for spots.
Cough.
Irregularities.
And check for blood.
Telltale signs.
Mucus. Signs
I'm fatalistic
of infection.
That way.
I
my
sneeze.
Assurances I ignore.
Hold my snot
I
up
imagine
to the light.
Some
tiny traces of red, yellow fuel my
I check in the mirror for spots.
And
irregularities.
And then turn. Signs of infection. I fall. Strange colors. And my niggling dog.
My friends are
I awaken from restless sleep. Search the bed for wetness. The absence of sweat on the sheets does not dissuade me. I climb my heat of my minor entries by the calendar on the
wetness. The absence of sweat on the sheet does not dissuade me.
Seems to take just up to the light.
Tiny traces of red and yellow fuel
I wring my hands in anticipation.
I sit and shit of the intern and peer into the bowl.
Every scar strange on my body, I elevate to lead in
anticipation of the inevitable. From
every scar on my body, I elevate to lead in my mind.
Every absence of sweat on the sheets does not dissuade me. I time the healing of my many minor injuries by the calendar on the wall. Every cut seems to take just a bit longer. I wring my hands in anticipation of the inevitable. Every scar on my body, I elevate to lesion status. Every cold insists pneumonia in my mind. Daily, I awaken, return to the mirror to check for spots, irregularities, telltale signs.
Tell us about that Wilson boy.
Oh my.
That Wilson boy. Yeah, everybody knows that Wilson boy.
That's my poem. This is Duncan. And what can I say about it? It was based in fantasy. I'll say that first off.
Based in fantasy?
Based in fantasy. It is not a factual occurrence in my life. I wish it had been. But I really wanted to, and in a workshop that we do, I also push this, that sometimes we're talked to as gay people as though we came from nowhere, as though we somehow appeared around 21, 22 years old, gay, sexually active, and we're a pariah, and we're this, and we're that. And we come from the same places that everybody else comes from, the same homes, the same communities, the same organizations, the same influences. And we also have sexuality that develops, for some of us, the same. And so just like a little girl has a little crush on a guy, and she's playing around with him in her early adolescence, for some of us who are gay, we had that same experience, that we had a crush on a boy and we were children trying to deal with our sexuality, older children, and we were, you know, influenced by somebody who we had a crush on. And that's what it's about. And it's very interesting when people respond to me, I always ask them, were you the subject of the poem or were you that Wilson boy? And and I won't tell what the percentages are, but I do have people who own up to being that Wilson boy.
Well, yeah, he says it's not based in fact, but I know that I was that McWilliams boy who pushed someone's fear through grandmama's rug. Yes, that was
I'll
me.
I'll just bet. And it is interesting. This is Malik. It is interesting to see the connection to that piece, too, because I know for myself, I talk about in the introduction on the CD, in the first piece on the CD, I talk about how I was 15 years old and had a boyfriend and, you know, had a steady boyfriend at 15, not somebody I was just, you know, just hooked up with, as they say, as the young folks say now. But, but I mean, as really had that experience of being in the position of the speaker in the poem, that Wilson boy, and remembering, you know, folks coming home and having somebody have to run out of the house and try and hide and act like we were just wrestling or just doing whatever it was that when we were doing quite something else, actually.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yes,
yeah.
We will. Oh, and out of clarity, I want to say that that piece was not about an adolescent having sex with an adult. It was not about that. And that has gotten us into a little bit of controversy from folks who thought that I was advocating some things that I really was not advocating at all. It's about adolescent sexuality between two adolescents, which I consider a natural part of development. Hope they stay gone to the store all day. Faces so warm, flushed. Did not know lips felt like this. Didn't know they turned on all my feelings like a lamp in the dark. Breathing with each other, this close, hot breaths, pushing out our open, pouting mouths. Oh God, it feels so good. His tongue like joy, jumping inside my mouth, smooth, sharp teeth like hard candy.
touch after touch teaching me, my hands mindlessly following along. My mind can't keep up, so natural to kiss and kiss and kiss some more. Oh God, I don't want to forget a single tingling moment. Not one blessed touch, not one blessed pull, taste, tug, the smells. When I'm old, I want this to come back to me. All of it. Everything. His long big toe making circles in my nervous foot's arch, shifting weight of his round hard chest, shoulders firm, powerful hips, his stomach heaving, his pelvis pushing my fear through grandmama's rug, through the hardwood waxed floor, wrestling, but not wrestling to win. Sound of the hook, hook unhooked, creaking old spring stretching, slam. The screen door, front porch. He tenses, sweat freezes on his slick, smooth back. We stop inhaling to listen. Hoped it was the neighbor's door. Not a chance. Footsteps across the kitchen tile. My father's big feet first, putting paper grocery bags full on the formica counter. Time running out the room. Time falling out the window. Time left. He pulls his t-shirt from the pile back over his head, so quickly covering the firm mounds of chest with dingy cotton. Slam! Mother's feet, more swiftly through the screen door. The kitchen cabinet next to the stove opens. Pull my underpants up. We giggle too loud. The voice of God. What y'all doing up there? Mama, then to Daddy, slightly annoyed, but all-knowing and maybe all-seeing. That Wilson boy is up there. It is the Wilson boy pulling up his jeans, pulling at mine. More laughing. Thought of this lie before his sly hand slid down my drawers. Made the story up before that Wilson boy grabbed my butt, fingered me back there. Had a story ready for why my nipples have life now. That Wilson's boy gave my nipples life. Upstairs here on the hardwood floor, this hot Saturday on Grandmama's rug. Saw him grow hard in my hand, in my room, in my touch. Upstairs here, right here, touched him this last day of August by the dresser. He touched me. Real slowly back. Got my almost lie out. Wrestling. Too loud almost. Just in a time that was left. Mama stepped swiftly up the stairs. He's dressed. Running past her out of my reach. Told you about wrestling in this house. He's heading to freedom with, "Hi, ma'am, it was my idea. Bye, ma'am," on the way out. It was his idea to separate my trembling knees, push his biking all summer thigh between mine, separate the present from the past, hold me down, all of his might, stop our wrestling and start kissing my neck. Saw that boy from cross town conquering his sister's night. His sister melted. I melted. Melting works. Her knees came apart. My knees came apart. Mama passed to load the upstairs bathroom. New soap, new toilet paper, new basin, tub, and towel cleanser, like on TV. Slam. Out the door. You better get that room in order. To me, 'cause I'm not free. Whirling pictures spinning in my head like that new blue stuff in the toilet, following him down the street past the AME church on Agnes Street. Nipples hurt, still red a little bit. Fingers smell like him a whole lot. Grandmama's rug, anointed. And I can never, ever get this room back in order again.
Whoa, I didn't miss a word of that one. Can you please tell us about the track called Out?
This is Duncan. I think the power of Out is in the simplicity of three black men who say, I'm out, O-U-T, for the whole world to see.
Mm-hmm.
That still is such a revolutionary statement given by three black men in America. And it's kind of sad that that's the case, given that it's such a normal part of everyday life for so many of us. But for so many of us, it isn't. And so that when we come on stage and we open our show with the simple truth that we are out, O-U-T, for the whole world to see, that sets the course for the rest of the show. And so it also helps in case you came to Adobe Muse expecting something else. You are aware of what you're going to be dealing with. And if you need to leave at that point, you can, because we have received your ticket money.
It really is just a powerful statement, and everywhere we go, people really identify with it. And I think a lot of times it's because people in the audiences may not be at a place where they can stand up and shout that out to the whole world. And so to hear us do it is kind of empowering and kind of like hopefully helps to get them to a place where they think maybe I can stand up and say that too.
I'm out, O-U-T, for the whole world to see.
I'm out, O-U-T, for the whole world to see.
O-U-T, for the whole world to see. Now y'all parasites can't mess with me. I'm a soldier in the field. I used to run from the war. But it's no longer my problem. But for y'all a deal. See?
It's time to take a stand.
Time to understand.
Time to be a man.
I've got to be who I am.
From birth taught not to by you, you, and you.
Oh, and you too, honey. I see you over there. Don't try to hide.
Now disregard, although it's hard, like crud on my shoe.
They say it's a sin.
They say that we choose
to be labeled by your hateful names, the joke and loser of the game.
But trust, I only want it to be the same. Why would I choose so much pain and abuse?
Nature's the same for me and for you.
Or did you choose?
Or did you choose? No. Well, then why am I the one to blame? Because somehow I figure it ain't we all the same?
Nature's the same for me and for you.
So what's the problem? Is it that you want me to hide?
Mm.
In that closet, quietly off to the side. I don't think so.
Homie, don't play that.
We on the same boat.
Why don't you step back? So I choose to speak a little bit louder to obtain what you already
self-righteously have.
And as I choose to speak a little bit louder, you wonder why. Why? Because you just don't hear me, though.
No, they just won't hear you.
Let it go, because they're not going to hear you.
They ain't going to hear you.
So as I sit back and think about all those wasted years.
Uncomfortable situations and wasted years.
Me thinking it's a sin and wasted years.
Me praying I don't go to hell and wasted years.
You laughing at me and wasted years.
And worst of all.
Worst of all. Me. Laughing at myself and wasted years. You know, still sometimes that can bring me to tears. But since you don't hear me, though, I don't let you see that. Though I will speak louder to let you know that I will not hide. No longer can I hide. Persecute me if you want for my pride. But as you do, you be aware. It's no longer my problem. I really don't care. I'm no longer stressed by your parody. Not stressed by the fact that you say I've nailed two strikes against me. Why?
Because I'm out, O-U-T,
for the whole world to see. All you parasites and leeches.
Wanna be preaching.
Judgmental mother.
Judgmental motherfuckers. They can't mess with me.
Can't mess with him.
Because I'm out,
O-U-T for the whole world to see. It's no longer my problem, but for y'all a deal.
It's no longer my problem, but for y'all to deal.
It's no longer my problem, but for y'all to deal.
It's no longer my problem, but for y'all to deal.
Tell me about the piece, What Was I Thinking?
What Was I Thinking? This is Malik, and I actually wrote that piece. Anthony always tells me to tell the story behind how that piece came about, and it's really interesting because it sounds like some bitter old queen with some horrid experience, and I have been described as that before, but that's not the point. the point is that the piece really, it was the result of a writing assignment. So I went to a junk drawer, made a list of everything that was in the junk drawer, and then wrote a piece that used all of those items in the piece. And out of that came this story that just kind of flowed up out of me about this horrible hookup connection, blind date kind of situation that...
A fictional story.
It was a completely fictional story.
Completely fictional.
Completely fictional. But you know, there's a difference between truth and fact. And while there may be truth in that story, it was not a factual story, as Duncan can, I'm sure, relate to, as he talks about how that Wilson boy was not factual. But So it's interesting that that piece sort of came up out of me, and I can't even really say where that came from other than this writing assignment.
Now, I always tell people to, or tell Malik to let folks know how that came about, because I think it really is a testament to how great of a writer Malik is. Because there's no way, like, if you hear it independently, you really don't realize, like, you'll hear the items that you probably wouldn't have even heard had no one told you that story. So it is just deep. Yeah. I just think, yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Was I that desperate for affection, attention, sex, that I placed myself on the menu, tacked on like a last-minute addition you could order up at will, an afterthought? I am lying here wondering, what was I thinking? Hand me a flashlight, some batteries, and a book. Quite simply, I'm bored. I've gotten past the excitement of thinking what we might do. Gotten past the trepidation of your rubber glove preparations. I've even gotten past disappointment as I realized just how much camouflage your clothes were providing. I lie here, my face resting on your poly cotton blend pillowcase, watching the thin vine of smoke climbing from the incense on your nightstand, waiting for the next drop of abnormally excessive sweat to splash down from your face onto my neck. Your grunts and moans and occasional muttered expletives would seem to indicate some effort on your part. Damn boy, you offer, that shit feels good. I notice an abandoned screw resting on the nightstand next to an empty picture frame. My disinterest in your efforts to move me allows me the freedom to wonder if the glue stick, rubber band, and that damn screw hold some deeper meaning for you, some desire to bind and keep. The ragged pitch of your voice escalates, recalling my attention. Your dead weight on my back signals an end to my ordeal. I feel the beginnings of a fake, satisfied growl in my throat. A post-coital courtesy. But you sit up, stand up, turn on the naked light bulb overhead, and I realize your efforts were never on my behalf. I retrieve my pants from beside the bed, lift my shirt from the antiquated rabbit-eared TV antenna where my hopes of passion landed it in haste. I hear you in the bathroom, the running water almost masking that annoying tune you've been humming off and on all night. Heading for the door, with no intention of saying goodbye, I notice a small steel bowl on the living room end table. Change and a single folded bill recall tip jars for underpaid servers. I start to take everything in it. Instead, I smile, pick up the pamphlet next to your dish. Safe sex is fun sex. I laugh, drop the pamphlet next to an unopened wrapper, walk out the door, grinning at the irony. Ha! What was I thinking?
You can find the music of A Doting Muse on Amazon or CD Baby, and their name is spelled A-D-O-D-I-M-U-S-E. and Anthony Antoine has several releases of his own since this album, and can also be found on Facebook. We're going to end this segment with the CD's title track, Ain't Got Sense Enough to Be Shamed.
Ain't got sense enough to be shamed.
Ain't got sense
ain't got
enough,
sense
to,
enough
be
to be
shamed.
Shamed. Ain't got sense enough
ain't
to be
got
shamed.
Sense enough to be shamed.
Bathroom mirror told me just how fabulous I am.
1 whole hour getting ready.
60-minute ritual. Washing, rinsing, spraying.
Greasing, and combing.
Greasing and combing. Outfit checking.
Ironing.
Tossing aside undesirable ensembles. Critical examination. Final 4 fashionable options. This the one. One Miss Tyrese don't have. I look so good in banana yellow. We'll place this one in my party bag next to my Fashion Fair cocoa colored base. Keeps me smooth. Next to my sense of freedom. Change at Sissy Central.
Sissy Central.
Miss Tyrese's queer home for misbegotten and forgotten boys. Heard the Supreme Court Chief Justice in session on the kitchen telephone. Forgot this is their house. Forgot to lock the bathroom door. Forgot this was the bathroom, not the closet. Forgot Mama Nosy. Been wanting to know what takes me so long.
What takes you so long?
Forgot Mama Nosy said
only women and girls take so long.
Forgot
fabulous is not appreciated
in this house. Forgot being effeminate is a cardinal sin. Forgot to keep all my magic hidden. Forgot my sense. Forgot my shame.
Look at you. Just look at you.
Walking around here like you got a right to be proud.
What disgraces our good name? Are you primping?
Ain't got sense enough to be shamed.
Ain't got sense enough not to come around here talking such mess.
Keep it quiet.
Keep it quiet if you won't rid yourself of it. What did I do? Told your father to be harder on you.
Told your mama not to let you carry on so.
It's not from my side of the family.
Not from my side of the family.
You know we got neighbors. Respectable neighbors.
In a respectable neighborhood. What are you trying to represent?
Where did you get that from? Banana yellow, Lord help.
You had respectable parents.
You had respectable.
God-fearing.
Holy Ghost-filled. Christian parents and now this.
What done got into you, boy? Are you sick?
Have you done lost your mind? Give me that shit.
Lord, you done made your mama curse.
I'll fix it so you can't wear this mess.
Banana yellow.
Not even on your little sister's bedspread.
Banana yellow.
Certainly not on no son of mine. Banana yellow.
And a purse.
Where is your sense?
Where's your shame?
Why in God's name
ain't you got sense enough to be shamed?
I won't have no shame. Won't have no sense if sense means staying here. Won't have no reason to be shamed at Mama Tyrese's. I can wipe away that filth. Shake off the shame. Mama Tyrese and me gonna twirl away all night tonight at the club. DJ gonna spin a root for haters and fools. The banana yellow, only slightly torn. Now a fashion statement. Badge of pride will make me clean. We can't all be bad. Can't all be wrong. Mama Tyrese will let me know. Love me like I am. I ain't gonna be shamed. Not tonight at Mama Tyrese's. Not tonight at Club Forget It All. And not tomorrow morning, wherever that may be. I'll pick up my purse, my freedom, my banana yellow, and keep right on stepping.
Ain't got sense enough to be shamed.
I ain't got sense enough to be shamed.